Will you stand and sing the opening hymn? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We confess our sins. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in this stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me?
Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer.
And by night, but I find no rest.
Yet you are holy,
enthroned on the praises of Israel.
In you our fathers trusted.
They trusted, and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were rescued.
In you they trusted, and were not put to shame.
I am a worm and not a man,
scorned by mankind and despised by the people.
All who see me mock me.
They make mouths at me. They wag their heads.
He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him.
Let him rescue him, for he delights in him.
Yet you are he who took me from the womb.
You made me trust you at my mother's breasts.
On you was I cast from my birth.
And from my mother's womb you have been my God.
Be not far from me.
For trouble is near, and there is none to help.
Many bulls encompass me.
Strong bulls of Bashan surround me.
They open wide their mouths at me.
Like a ravening and roaring lion.
I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint.
My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast.
My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws.
You lay me in the dust of death.
For dogs encompass me.
A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet.
I can count all my bones.
They stare and gloat over me.
They divide my garments among them.
And for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, do not be far off.
O you, my help, come quickly to my aid.
Deliver my soul from the sword.
My precious life from the power of the dog.
Save me from the mouth of the lion.
You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen.
I will tell of your name to my brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him.
All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel.
For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted.
And he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him.
From you comes my praise in the great congregation.
My vows I will perform before those who fear him.
The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord.
May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kingship belongs to the Lord.
And he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Posterity shall serve him.
It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn.
That he has done it.
We pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given into the hands of sinners, and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The congregation may be seated. The congregation is invited to look at the insert, which has the sermon outline on one side and the seventh petition on the front side. We read the seventh petition with its meaning in bold print together. But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputations, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I continue with reading those portions from the large catechism, just there printed. In the Greek, this petition reads, deliver or keep us from the evil one or the wicked one. The petition seems to be speaking of the devil as the sum of all evil, in order that the entire substance of our prayer may be directed against our archenemy. It is he who obstructs everything that we pray for, God's name or glory, God's kingdom and will, our daily bread, a good and cheerful conscience, etc. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray constantly against this archenemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour. Thus you see how God wants us to pray to him for everything that affects our bodily welfare and directs us to seek and expect help from no one but him. But this petition he has put last, for if we are to be protected and delivered from all evil, his name must first be hallowed in us, his kingdom come among us, and his will be done. Then he will preserve us from sin and shame, and from everything else that harms or injures us. Point one in the sermon notes. Jesus' words in the Greek language might also be translated, deliver us from the evil one. The evil one. We pray, but deliver us from evil. And commentators say it should be translated the evil or the evil one. It can be translated either way. But what is certain is that in the Greek, the word the emphasizes the reality. The reality of evil and the evil one. Jesus taught us to pray that his name would be hallowed, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done, that we would have everything we need for this body and life, our daily bread. He taught us to pray that we need our sins forgiven. Even as we don't deny anybody else forgiveness, as we are forgiven, we also forgive. And we pray we don't lose faith, that we're not tempted away from faith to rely upon ourselves. Lead us not into temptation. When we pray these things, this last petition shows us this evil in ourselves, in the world, in the devil, is real and constant against us. These good things we pray for in the earlier petitions, the evil in this world wants to take it all away from us, to separate us from God. This is real. The forces of evil, the sin in us, Satan, is real. In point two, to pretend that there's no evil and no evil one is to say that Jesus died for nothing. Why did Jesus die if evil is not real? He died for something. He died for the real problem of evil. When I typed in the explanation of the seventh petition, it kind of tripped me up, the last phrase in it, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. And that caught me. Caught me because that's not how I memorized that little verse there, that little part of that. I memorized in the 1943 catechism, and I checked with Debbie. I called her up. I said, Debbie, I don't think this is the way it is in the old catechism. Isn't it Vale of Tears? And she checked and she said, yeah, yes, you're right. Graciously take us from this veil of tears. And she and I discussed and said, we don't really know what a veil is, but we know what tears are. And that is a reality of evil in this life. That people shed tears over death, over injury, over sad events, over tragedy. This is a place of tears. And we ask God, keep us. Keep us. And to deny the reality of evil is to deny the reality of Jesus and his mission. There is evil. And he came to solve the problem of evil. John said in his first letter, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We have sin. There is evil. If we say there isn't, we're just lying. Number three, Jesus died to defeat and overcome the devil, our sins, and let's make it very personal. Our death. He came to defeat and overcome the devil, our sins, and our death. Whether we might die as a young person or as after many years as an older person, our death is still something that all humans face in one way or another. And Jesus came to overcome this for us, so that for his people, death is not a tragedy. Death is not for nothing, but death is a door to life. Death is sleep for his people. This is why he died. 1 John chapter 3 says, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." That is why Jesus came, was to destroy our sins, to pay for them, was to destroy death, was to destroy the power of the devil. And number 4, Jesus' words from the cross, which we will hear very soon, we're going to go through them in the rest of the service. Jesus' words from the cross teach us the reality of evil in and around us. Jesus' words from the cross teach us the depth of his love for us. Those two blanks there. The Son of God died like this to save us. As we go through these 7 last words from Jesus, the Son of God died like this to save us. And the Son of God loved us like this to save us. We see these in these records in the Gospels. He died like this. This is how much evil is that he died like this. And this is how much he loved us. He died like this. In 1 John chapter 4, John wrote, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." We cannot truly know love by what we might be able to do, but we truly know love because of what Christ has done for us. We see this, his love, in his words from the cross. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for suffering and dying for us. As we read through and meditate on the words that you said from the cross, as recorded by your apostles, show us the true meaning of the evil and the sin that you came to save us from, and show us the true depth of the love that you have given and showed for us and done for us. Bless our meditations, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. We sing the hymn, "Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted."
Stricken, smitten, and afflicted, see him dying on the tree. 'Tis the Christ by man rejected. Yes, my soul, 'tis he, 'tis he. 'Tis the long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. I see suffering. sufficient of it, 'tis the true and faithful word. Tell me, ye who hear him groaning, was there ever grief like this? Friends and fear his cause disowning, foes insulting. The stroke that justice gave. Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the
seven words from the cross. The Gospels record Jesus speaking seven times from the cross. Hanging on a cross made even simple breathing painful. To say the seven statements loud enough for people to hear cost Jesus physical pain and grief. Yet his words are full of grace and love for his accusers and torturers, for a great sinner on the cross, and for his mother. His words are full of grief to be separated from his Father. His words are obedience to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. His words declare victory over sin, Satan, and death. His words give up his spirit into his Father's care. The congregation reads the bold print words along with the pastor in the following readings. The first word. From Luke chapter 23, verses 32 through 38. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. We sing, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded.
Grief and shame. despised and gory. I joy to call thee mine. How pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and a scorn.
The second word, Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." We sing. The third word, from John chapter 19, verses 23 through 27. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. He said to his mother,
"Woman, behold your son."
Then he said to the disciple,
"Behold your mother."
And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. We sing.
What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me
fourth word from Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 and 43, 45 through 47. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." We sing the Lamb.
The Lamb, the Lamb.
His praise to sing.
Fifth word from John chapter 19, verses 28 through 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture,
"I thirst."
A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. We sing.
The Lamb, as wayward sheep their shepherd kill, so still his will on our behalf the law to fill. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness. He lives, forgives, he gives me his own righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne.
The sixth word from John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said,
"It is finished."
And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The seventh word, from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, when the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said,
"Father, into your hands I commit my spirit."
And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. We sing.
Crucified my
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Amen.